Hi, this is Bill Ratner. I'm the voice of Flint on G.I. Joe, and this is Knowing is Half the Podcast, which is actually an appropriation of the original saying, Knowing is Half the Battle, which was used in a number of public service announcements that have now been burlesqued on YouTube by a number of individuals, and I don't think there's a copyright issue at all. Have a good day.
He never gives up, he'll stay till the fight's won. G.I. Joe will dare. G.I. Joe.
Everybody, and welcome back to your favorite G.I. Joe podcast show. We're back. We did it, guys. We're a little later in the week, but I mean, we got the show out.
Don't call it a comeback.
We've been here for literally 2 years and a few days.
At least an hour and a half is the thing.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Well, tonight,
we've been eating weird Kit Kats. We've been talking about Comic-Con.
You know, when we went back and when all the schedule craziness was happening and we ended up putting on three bank shows in a row of older shows, there was word on the streets that the show was having problems. And we were all, people were just like, don't tell me you guys are like mad at each other and not going to work anymore.
Is this a lie? Is it
That is a tweet we got.
And from the answer who?
I don't want to say their name because it sounds foolish in hindsight. But I think you even responded to it.
Professor
like, no,
Butts
dude,
and
we're
stuff.
Friends in real life and stuff.
Did I?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't recall this.
You know what, how did I did not get tagged on this. How do you all get tagged and they're keeping me out?
But yeah.
They think that I'm the problem, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
I mean, of the three of us, little do they know how terrible I am.
Here's the thing. I have the equipment. So it's you guys coming over that is the problem because I am always here.
I will own up to being the problem because I am the busiest.
Well, you just have the tightest schedule, but you're also doing the most important stuff.
Yeah, you're doing legit stuff. We're sitting around here eating Doritos.
I wish that's what I was doing.
And Ray's eating Doritos with his family.
Thank you.
Oh, I feel like I can finally announce this on...
Yes.
On here, one of my writing partners and I, Haley Mancini, who has been a guest on the show before,
and was
very
awesome.
Funny
writer of Powerpuff Girls.
We sold a graphic novel.
Hell's yeah!
Yeah.
So look for that on stores in like a year.
Yeah, I was gonna say, and come 2019, I can't wait to read it.
Yeah,
it's listed in previews now. It'll be 2000.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
My kid will be going to college.
And hopefully wearing t-shirts for my graphic novel.
Well, I assume we're all getting t-shirts. Once. I mean, if you're not bringing us swag, like I'll be very upset.
At least some refrigerator magnets.
It's,
come on.
It's been in the works for months, but we finally got paid for it. Like with the check finally cleared, so now I can announce it to the world.
That's sweet, sweet comic book money. Yeah. Mm-mm. Well, Gina, let me say on behalf of everybody, congratulations.
Thank you, sir.
It's very exciting.
And if you want to know how to get your own comic books published, just message Gina. Tell her like you have a script that you would love her to read.
Oh, dear.
And if she can give you notes
people
on it and maybe an extensive
do this.
Ideally if you can be super passive aggressive when you do it too, that would be ideal.
For those of you who don't live in this world, like the number one thing is as soon as Eddie becomes even moderately successful, you're just inundated with requests for like
Can
I pick your brain, which actually means, hey, can you get me a job?
Yeah.
Even
if yeah.
you don't have any sort of power or, you know.
It either means, so can I take you to coffee and pick your brain is my, it causes me to go into a coma.
She freezes like a possum.
It's been happening to me for about the past like 2 years, I'd say, that people have been hitting me up.
Oh, strangely enough, the same amount of time Knowing is Half the Podcast has been around. Coincidence?
I 100%
probably. Yeah, probably 100%.
It's like, oh god, I gotta get away from these people.
You know,
I'll just work. I'll work harder and just try and block everything out.
G.I. Joe cartoons, cool. Whatever.
If you had waited like an extra month, I would have been like, no, I'm not gonna do this.
Well,
it always either means it either means like, hey, give me jobs, or can I touch your vagina?
Sure, sure.
Or maybe,
or maybe both.
Can I touch your vagina and then you can give me jobs?
Yeah, or like, give me a job and then I'll touch your vagina.
Oh, okay.
In retrospect, I have a couple of times unwittingly fallen prey to this. It was more of like a,
people
hey,
touched
let's...
your vagina?
Yeah, it was rough. They had to dig real hard to find it. It's there.
Guys, but... I'm uncomfortable right now.
No, just like the, hey, let's write together on a thing.
Oh, yeah. And people then, ask you this?
No. I have asked, like, people this, uh-huh. including women. And they're like, or they've just sort of like blown it off. Oh, and I realize in retrospect, oh, right. Yeah. That's,
yeah.
Well, now in this town, married, that's a come on. Should be okay.
Sure.
Right? In theory?
In theory. But
you should be
not,
safe. You should be safe.
I've thought, like, this guy's safe. He's married. And then been like, ah, he's touching my vagina.
Oh, dear. At least I don't have to give him a job.
Thank heavens. It could have been worse.
Oh, my goodness. Guys, the episode we're talking about today.
What? We're doing a... Yeah. Right.
We're not. G. We're doing a stream of consciousness cast. No G.I. Joe episode will be... No. This is called Battle for on the Roof of the World. Battle on the Roof of the World is the name. It's episode 4 of the Weather Dominator series. Guys, we're getting right up
against
it. Otherwise
known as The Revenge of Oprah.
The Revenge of Oprah.
The Revenge of Cobra.
I could have sworn he said Oprah. As we were watching, I was like, the revenge of Oprah.
I mean, her revenge must be terrible. She's got a lot of money.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She will crush you.
Yeah. Like, she can revenge for years on her paycheck.
Never stop.
She could literally make it her full-time job to revenge you.
Yeah.
And there's nobody who could stop her.
She could pay assistants to revenge you.
You guys, if there were any person in the world, any single person in the world who could legitimately actually build a weather dominator.
Oh,
number one, Vladimir Putin. Number two, Oprah Winfrey.
Yeah. I mean, literally, Oprah could be like, I've bought all of Twitter, and now all of them are sending you hate speech.
Yeah, like
wow.
She'll just own all of TV.
Yep.
Well,
also, what's the title? Something about the edge of the world?
Battle on the Roof of the World.
Yeah, what do we think the roof of the world is?
Well, I know what it is.
Thought it was the North Pole.
Oh. No,
I was mistaken.
Is there an actual place called the Roof of the World?
No, I just figured, where's the roof? On the fucking top. So it's the top of the world, which is icy cold. In fact, it's the Himalayas.
I figured
it's
it was in the Himalayas. That was my guess.
So like they're talking highest point or something like
that.
Yes. It's a big mountain with a flat top.
I was thinking like it's
which
the...
is how roofs work, right?
That is how roofs
is
work.
Is you
yeah.
live on top of your roof?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was thinking if it's turtles all the way down, is the roof a turtle shell?
No, well, there is no roof. There's only space and Jesus above us.
Thank you.
And there's a turtle's underneath.
Oh, so the roof is Jesus's feet.
Yes.
Oh, that stinks.
Yeah. Well, the nice thing is there's holes so you can see through to the stars.
That's true.
So the episode starts...
Sacrilegious.
You guys go right ahead. I'm staying over here. My goal is to get the least amount of hate speech thrown at me on Twitter before and after Oprah buys
you, it. You need to join Chan and I on the side of getting people to hate us on the internet.
Mm-hmm. Get on the
We've
side of the
here
flame
for years.
Train.
Guys, let's not act like I've never gotten people to hate me on the internet before. I was an original troll back in the day, and I'm not proud of it.
Oh, so you're on the wrong side of history here, man.
Well, I'm just
Dan and
why
I get hate from the trolls.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, this is me right now, like atoning for my past sins, trying to live a good life, like the Hound on Game of Thrones. Like,
yeah.
I'm just trying to do good as best I can.
I feel like that's not going to end well for you or the Hound.
Well, so far it hasn't.
Yeah, who drafted him in our Game of Thrones draft?
Yeah, if you get points for burials, you got something there.
I still don't understand how drafts work, and I had to leave that group because I was getting FOMO.
Whoa. All we're doing now is just posting all sorts of Game of Thrones links.
Well,
and
actually,
just having fun talking about Game of Thrones.
I sort of left it because
doing each other's hair.
I was waiting on Monday. I like hadn't seen the episode. And on Monday, people were posting.
Yeah, we were.
But like even to your personal pages, which like if it's Monday at 10 a.m., post a spoiler warning.
Yeah,
yo.
That's rude. You gotta wait 24 hours, man. I've always said there's a 24-hour rule for
like,
TV like
basically,
that.
Basically, I knew as soon as the Sand Snake showed up, I was like, oh, this was what Sarah was talking about. They're going to die right now. Like, I knew it because I had seen her. She had posted something about like, oh, everyone calm down.
Well,
like,
you're on Greyjoy as my new hero. Can I just put that out there? I loved him.
Oh,
I
this
loved
says
him.
A lot about
so
you.
Much. He comes in, he crushes a guy laughing, like just winning the battle. I'm just like, oh,
no,
this guy's amazing.
Here's the thing. I drafted him.
Oh,
I got mad points for him last week.
That's a good draft.
I hated him. I hated everything
trade
he was
him to
doing.
B-Chan. Trade him to me.
I mean, we knew this was coming when he said he was going to get, by the way, spoiler alert, when he said he was going to get like a Cersei a gift, I was like, all right, well, that's clearly going to be.
No, he's going to get Tyrion.
No, I mean, I was thinking Tyrion or the Sand Snakes.
Well, he's going to show up and see who he can get, and then, like a wise shopper, make the best decision.
Seriously, yeah. Don't care about... This is not the Game of Thrones podcast.
Yes, sorry. So going forward, at the end of the last episode, if we remember...
Go to fantasizer.com, though. They do, like, all sorts of cool drafts. They're, like, non-sports drafts, so, like, TV shows and stuff like that. It's silly fun. Anyway.
Guys, Shipwreck and Gung-Ho were falling into a pit with the lovebirds, the giant god statue and the cobra robot.
Right.
Yeah.
And they were falling pretty deep, and Lady J comes up with a brilliant idea to throw a javelin.
Only one chance.
Only one chance. Also, now I know why Shipwreck is, like, so enamored with her. I mean, if I met this chick, I'm straight, but I would be like, yeah, I'm going to ask her to coffee and touch her vagina.
Yeah.
Like, she's dope.
Yeah. We're falling at the acceleration rate of 9.8 meters per second per second.
So how strong must she be to throw that javelin?
Say 10 seconds, and then she throws the javelin after the, like, oh my God, what's happening? Oh, we'd better do something. I have an idea. There's just one chance. Let me get my javelin, aim it real well, and throw it.
Also, wouldn't that javelin, wouldn't each of those javelins weigh like 10 pounds? If they've got all that crap inside them.
That is a lot of netting to be carried in.
That's like, I mean, and she's got a lot of javelins in there. I want to know what's inside the rest of her javelins.
Mm-hmm.
Like, does one have a full turkey dinner inside?
Oh, that would be the joke.
I know. Like,
ever.
I think it's like a mixture of, because she's essentially
turkey
like,
javelin.
Yeah, like everyone's like, oh my God, our Thanksgiving is ruined. I only have one chance.
pops out in the gorge, like, no. Go get it.
I like the idea that it pops up with a tablecloth, plates.
Oh, yeah.
No doubt. It's everything, like some gravy.
Mm-hmm.
Cranberry sauce that no one will touch.
Oh, no, I like the cranberry sauce. You got to get a tiny bit of cranberry sauce. You got to get the canned stuff.
You only get the canned stuff.
Yeah.
And it's gross.
No. You get a little bite with the turkey.
I hate cranberries on my Thanksgiving turkey. Love it on a Thanksgiving turkey sandwich.
Do you get the jelly? I don't like if it has seeds. I get the like the jelly
roll. Your turkey
roll.
Has seeds?
That's
not how turkeys work.
No. You're not eating a turkey,
bad
baby.
That
may be a giant mutant eggplant, possibly. Or a pumpkin? Was it orange?
It came out of a javelin, so I don't know how long it was in there.
We can only expect so much out of javelin food,
well,
right?
You figure it's being compressed so the heat generated would cook the meal, right?
What's the deal with javelin food? Am I right?
So which use of physics is more egregious? The javelin throw that has the net that catches them or shipwrecks grappling?
We're not even getting there yet? We're not even talking about the physics of it. We're talking about the fact that asshole had a grappling hook. He could have saved himself.
That's a great point.
But he's like, save me, Lady J.
Why does a sailor have a grappling hook?
Oh, why wouldn't a sailor have a grappling hook? Let's start there.
Is this a common thing?
Like, it's a tiny anchor.
I would say falling from great distances is very common in the G.I. Joe universe.
That's fair.
So
yeah.
I would carry a grappling hook with me everywhere.
But he's new to the G.I. Joe universe.
He
like a second
quick.
Ago, he was sitting in a bar. He was a sailor and he was like, I know how to navigate in sand water and I have grappling hooks.
Yeah. It holds up.
Continue with what you're about to say.
But, like the physics of him using the grappling hook to bounce them back up over the railing and onto the earth again. Yeah.
Yeah. Again, they're like about a mile and a half down
after
that fall.
Far down.
Here's what I'll do. I'll just load it up like a catapult, kapwing right up to the top again.
I'm not going to lie. I kind of want to see G.I. Joe become a CW show because I really to see some of these romances play out.
Oh, okay.
Like, I would like Shipwreck to show up and be like the new handsome, interesting man. And then like Lady J sort of have a tryst with him for three episodes. And then it turns out he's a hunky vampire and a demon hunter.
Well, we haven't finished this this miniseries yet, so who knows what's going to happen. I mean, I do.
How do you continue a show like that with only three women?
I mean, you'd have to add in some. Well, here's the thing.
You got Baroness. You got Zoranna.
Also, most of those shows only have three women, but you would have to you would have to vastly cut down on the dudes. Too.
Right, that's the thing. It's like there's like only four dudes.
Yeah, but they would have to be like peripheral characters. I don't know if you watch Pretty Little Liars, but they were introducing more characters than I could freaking count over those seven seasons that I watched it.
And much like in the real world, men are replaceable.
Mm-hmm.
True enough.
There it is. So let's get to scene two, guys, now that we're a half hour into the show. we find out that they we're back at the island of no return.
Yep.
And we find out that the
spoiler, they all return.
Well, they crack the Earth's crust, which causes the temperature in the seas to rise.
To be fair, that's the earthquakes as a result of the weather dominator activity, which yes. is fine.
But molten lava fine. Comes out.
It yeah. does.
I don't think that's good for the Earth. I think that they have done irreparable harm.
I mean,
no more than man, Gina.
Lava comes out all the time. That's what lava does.
Is that right?
That's how you make islands.
That's how, like, I know because I've eaten molten chocolate cake before.
That
and
is,
I understand
and
the
very
concept.
Simple. Bubbles out, yeah.
Yep.
I understand
that's why
the concept.
You don't want to turn on a weather dominator around your
around cake
or anytime you're at a Ruby Tuesdays.
I'm just saying. I think, like, if we tallied up the amount of harm that they have done, not even including all the trees and the forests that sure. they've knocked down with their vehicles. Like they, at some
lot.
Point they melted the polar ice caps.
Yep.
They're cracking the Earth's crust.
We yep. did destroy that temple a moment ago.
I mean, they're causing earthquakes. Like I feel like this is not. The someone
cool,
needs to get these guys. Is
the
what
cool
I'm saying.
Part about the world of G.I. Joe is their artifacts and great locales are like Pringles. They'll just keep making more.
I mean, you can't. You only have one Earth, Ray.
No, G.I. Joe doesn't.
Only have one Earth. Until what's his name lets us go to Mars on all of his spaceships.
Oh, okay. When Richard Branson takes
Elon
us up there.
Musk.
Oh, okay. They both, you know, could do it, maybe.
What, Richard Branson with his planes?
Yeah.
His airplanes?
Why not?
because you got to go through space?
Yeah, but I can hold my breath for 4 minutes.
Uh-huh.
I just learned, hey, I just learned from
really?
An episode of Doctor Who not to hold your breath in space. Also, I can totally hold my breath for 4 minutes.
Nope, not going down that route again. So we have an interesting battle tactic between G.I. Joe and Cobra, the dueling smoke screens, which really doesn't make a ton of sense to me because G.I. Joe blows the smoke screen. And yep. I'm like, that's smart. Okay, they're trying to do some like covert navigation, but then Cobra loses sight of them. So Baroness sure. immediately says, we're going to blow our own smoke screen. Uh-huh. But one of the major things about smoke is it's not one way. So the fact that G.I. Joe was in Boston smoke means that they couldn't see out of it either.
Yep.
I mean, maybe my battlefield science is off, but I don't think Cobra needed to blow that smoke screen is all I'm trying to say.
They did not. But they were like, shit, we've never got to use this button before.
Yeah.
At least we have an excuse.
Also, yep. I don't know if you guys have ever been to Universal Studios Halloween Horror Nights.
Too scary.
But I appreciate,
it's too long.
Like, you can never have enough smoke screens when you're walking through spooky locales.
That's a good point. So what you're saying is that the Island of No Return should have set up a Halloween Horror Nights?
Oh, yeah. I would totally, totally do that.
I mean, that's quite a travel for something you can literally get in any cornfield in America.
I mean, I really like Halloween, though.
So, okay, so this is what I thought was some of the coolest stuff that happened in this episode. Spirit and
yes.
Storm Shadow's relationship, right?
Agreed.
Yep. So they're both trapped in this underground flooded cavern with the device piece, and they decide that they're going to fight for a little bit first.
Mm-hmm. They salute each other first.
Mm-hmm.
They salute, bow.
Go at it.
They fight.
Double KO. Just punch, punch. It's like a classic pro wrestling maneuver.
It was pretty great.
It doesn't exist anywhere else in the world.
G.I. Joe and pro wrestling, what else do you need, though? For me,
honestly,
nothing.
I'm going to be honest. I would have thought, like, I get what they're trying to do, but I would have, my money would have definitely been on Storm Shadow.
Spirit has been shown to be his physical equal, though, in combat. Like,
yeah,
that is a trope.
So is Snake Eyes also his physical? I feel
yes.
like he can't have two physical equals.
That's the thing, is that I like, at this point in the G.I. Joe history, the face-off is Storm Shadow and Spirit.
We've
and eventually
about that before, yeah.
it becomes Snake Eyes and Storm Shadow. But at this point, I really like the aesthetics of this.
Yeah,
they
me
look
too.
Very different. Whereas, yeah, there's the black and white thing when you got Snake Eyes and Storm Shadow.
Mm-hmm.
But as cool as Snake Eyes is, he's just not as interesting or contrasting.
Yeah.
It's a different thing entirely, yeah.
Yeah.
Then I just wish that they would have kept it because having watched the whole series. And now watching this one, I was like, oh.
Feel let down?
Well, no. I just assume that Storm Shadow would make quick work of him because in the rest of like the series, he's never been proven to be particularly awesome.
Yeah,
there's a few episodes where they did have fights and like it did carry over into the regular season, but it probably was so long ago at this point that it's a faded memory.
And at the, when we watched it this time around, I think I was like, what the fuck is Spirit doing fighting Storm Shadow when it should be Snake Eyes?
Yeah.
And it was just, it felt weird.
Yeah.
Well, you have two of the most, like, honor-based characters in the entire thing. Mm-hmm. Maybe the two best honor-based characters in the
obviously.
Whole thing.
They're like, let's make sure to salute each other first and all that. And
not just that, when they decide they want to stop fighting, they both just sit there Indian style and dwell. Like the thing.
We must dwell on this.
I loved it.
Pretty sure you can't say Indian style anymore, Ray.
Oh. Native American style?
I think that the preferred term is now just cross-legged.
So Roadblock finds the Cobra Temple with Honolulu.
There's a big old line of Optimus Primes rolling up to it.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. That's kind of great.
All semis all in the world at this point are Optimus Primes.
Imagine if there were like six Optimus Primes who just like decided like this was their day and they were going to take out the whole Cobra Temple?
No, I think that this is like the work they do on the side. Like they're like, ugh, I got to earn some extra Earth money.
Yeah, and this is obviously before Transformers started. That's how they got their big break. Uh-huh. It's just like Harrison Ford was like a carpenter. And was like, let me audition for Han Solo.
Yeah.
These robots are all like, hey, check out what I can do.
I mean,
wow, we thought you just carried food.
I was thinking of like a modern day Lyft driver. Like they work as Transformers during the day, but for a few extra bucks.
If a car showed up to pick me up and it was a Transformer, I would give that guy 4 stars on
4 stars, not 5?
Wait, are there 5 stars or 4 stars?
Have you only been giving people 4 stars, Gina?
Oh my god!
Oh, that's horrible.
Well, 4 stars, 5 if he gives me bottled water. Let's keep it real.
You don't have gum?
Yeah.
You don't have gum?
If Optimus Prime has tiny mints, then he gets a 5.
So do you have a sound poll for me here of Roadblock at the Cobra Temple? Because there's a line in there that I absolutely want to hear again.
I'm not sure. I think I know what you're talking about.
I wrote one
down. I'm going to dial it back a little bit further.
Okay, sure.
Yeah.
Here's my line.
Right now, I'd say we got other problems arising.
To me,
did we all write down a different line?
To me, this is line one, talking about his dick. Right in all caps, talking about his dick, question mark.
Okay.
He was probably talking about the temple, but maybe not.
And then a little later, he says,
it's the last place I want to be caught dead in. And I'm talking dead with a very big D.
Now, that's the line I wanted to hear.
That is.
Yes.
Is that not also, are we talking about his
dick? Yeah, he's talking about his very big D.
Guys, I think it turns out all of Roadblock's dialogue forever has totally been penis-based.
But I wrote down another line. He has, it ain't Toyland, babe. And
what is this place?
It ain't Toyland, babe.
And this is a reference to a 1934 film that I watch every Christmas.
Babes in Toyland?
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
What is the reference?
Babes in Toyland.
Right, but what? It ain't
Toyland.
So it doesn't
Toyland,
have. It doesn't have anything to do
and boy
with
land.
The circumstance. It's just the name.
Well, it was like a 1934 black and white movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because there are horrors in Toyland. So I was just like, this is an interesting reference to make in a 1984.
The 1961 film?
Oh,
or the 1934 film.
There's a 1934. It's also called March of the Wooden Soldiers.
Whoa.
But I didn't know that that there was a 1961 version. I do know that they remade it in the 90s with Keanu Reeves and Drew Barrymore.
Ooh.
And I love that version. Although they don't call that one Babes in Toyland. That one is called...
It's just called Whoa.
Yeah.
Nope, Babes in Toyland, 1986.
Is it?
Drew Barrymore, Keanu Reeves.
Yeah. And that one is...
New
that
from
one
Orion
great.
Home Video.
Why is Mary marrying this terrible old Barnaby instead of his friend?
Because Barnaby bought the mortgage on her mother's house and said he'd throw them all out in the street if she didn't.
There's trouble in Toyland.
Okay.
Well, I'm not on board with that whatsoever.
Wow.
But yeah, if you guys have never seen it, watch the 1934 version, but definitely watch the Keanu Reeves version.
Which only came out a few years after this episode did.
That's true. He plays like Jack the Piper's son or something like that.
Seems
in
legit.
It.
Jack Nimble.
I think what you really want is to destroy Toyland.
Oh, God.
We have to watch it.
Why?
Here's the deal.
Great.
I'm gonna say right now, come Christmas time, I will commit to watching that.
Also, it's how I remember how to sing Cincinnati, because like in it, Drew Barrymore is from Cincinnati before she goes to Toyland, and there's this song that they sing that's I come from Cincinnat. Wait.
Nope. You blew it.
I come from Cincinnat, Cincinnati. Ohio,
guys, I changed my mind. I'm totally out. I am totally. You didn't tell me this was an Ohio-based movie.
We have to watch this. I will make some Italian food, and we will watch this over the holidays.
Oh, my God.
It's the greatest.
Sorry, I committed.
Well,
okay. So,
wow. Yes. For the first time, I'm actually looking forward to us returning to G.I. Joe. I don't want to be involved in this babes and toilet business anymore.
Well, to finish out the round out this scene, Destro and Cobra Commander have some of the hottest exposition in the middle of the beginning, middle of episode
like
4 or 5. No, they just like, hey, we're going to recap everything that's happening for no good possible reason whatsoever.
When you say they have hot exposition, I thought you were like talking about like
Game of Thrones type.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Destro and Cobra Commander are going on, and Baroness in the background just like.
I was trying to sell it, but I don't even know why.
Like Cobra Commander comes in and he's like, why do you? Oh, wait, that's Destro. And he's like, why do you have those men in a cage? And Destro's like, everyone knows that that's where men belong, in a cage.
Oh, so you're suggesting that the sex position is Duke and Snake Eyes having sex.
No,
like
I
all
was,
naked, like,
I was,
oh,
I was thinking
Robin.
There's sexual tension between everyone. That Jesus. but mainly Cobra Commander and Destro, like they're giving the exposition.
Well, no, obviously they see Duke and Snake Eyes. Snake Eyes has all of his clothes removed except for the mask.
Got to keep the mask on,
and they're like doing the thing.
They're oiling each other up,
and then Cobra Commander and Destro are like,
but Cobra Commander,
no,
was
we
saying,
can't, we can't.
Can I argue Cobra Commander and Destro would not have any sexual tension because they're an old married couple?
No, that's what it is. They see them in the cage, and it rekindles their flame.
That's how it works.
Yeah.
That's why people swing.
Like, he'll be like, Cobra Commander will be like,
what? Wait a minute. Was that an invitation? What is happening right now?
Key party while we watch Babes in Toyland.
Why are you giving me that look?
I'm just saying, when you have marital stress, you blow it off by going to a key party.
Yeah.
And just. Just make things fresh
again. That's not still
it.
People don't actually.
Oh, they told you. There's been like couples at Birds that have like approached people about like, we're a married couple. Do you want to have a threesome with us?
Wait,
that's different than
like
a key party, though.
Single people, or like they look for other couples and like, hey, you want to swap?
I've heard both.
Really?
But like, I think more often single people.
But those
like,
are probably
hey,
just gross comedy people.
No. They're people who know there are gross comedy people at the thing and are like,
they're trying to pick up gross comedy people.
No,
that's a problem.
Like, everyone I've heard about it from have been like usually like attractive comedy people, but I don't know why Birds is the place that this happens.
Because it's right next to the comedy theater and they're not very creative in their efforts.
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
We'll fight for freedom wherever there's trouble. G.I. Joe is there. G.I. Joe.
Leo Go sees Cobra's new weapon, Hiss. Destro's a genius. Hiss is unbeatable. Surprise attack! Call in the Wolverine! Go get him, Cover Girl!
G.I. Joe!
American hero!
So long, Wolverine!
Hurry, Clutch! Wolverine's in trouble! Destro, look! Hiss is ready!
G.I. Joe, Wolverine, and Cobra's Hiss, each with figure, other figures, and equipment sold separately from Hasbro. Now, back to G.I. Joe.
Okay, so getting back to Spirit and
hold on.
Shadow.
On the roof of the world.
How could I have forgotten that laugh?
He said the title of the episode.
Why would he be laughing at the exposition?
He was just very excited for the mission.
He was doing it to break the sexual tension.
I have finished the paperwork.
Hey, I would laugh maniacally if I finished paperwork.
I'm not going to lie. I do laugh maniacally every time I finish paperwork, just for the record. It's getting me in trouble at work. Spirit says the plan here is to find the blowhole.
Yep.
And
there's a lot of double entendres in this episode.
I don't know.
And I mean blowhole with a big D.
With a big D in it. I don't understand why Storm Shadow was so quick to give up. He's a real negative Nancy in this scene. Spirit's like, we're going to find the way. I have a plan. Storm Shadow's like, it's too late.
I think he's
we can't win.
I think he's testing him.
Honestly.
Is he testing him?
Yeah. Like, I think he's like, all right, this guy might be my equal, but let me see if he can get out of like a certain death situation.
I'll tell you what. This is the last time I'm going to bring up Game of Thrones, probably, but maybe not necessarily.
No chance.
Like, Theon sees everything's going on. He flips out and like jumps off the boat.
Uh-huh.
Correct.
I think in the same way, Storm Shadow probably had some horrible experience where like he almost drowned
PTSD.
As a kid.
Uh-huh.
So he's like, oh, water. I can't. We're going to die.
But he's awfully calm through the whole ordeal.
That's because he's fucking Storm Shadow.
Oh, okay.
He went to his happy place.
Mm-hmm.
He went into... Heart of Stone.
I thought you were going to say a Hardee's.
He went to a Carl's Jr. / Hardee's.
I've been reading In the Name of the Wind, guys. If you haven't read it, it's a really, really good book.
Eh.
Oh, what?
Eh.
You read both of them?
No, just the first one. I was like, this is...
If you didn't like the first one, you won't like the second one.
You guys aren't confused. Reading?
Audible.
I think you would like it.
Oh, okay. Audible. I understand Audible. I speak that language.
Oh, that's why you didn't like it.
Is it better... Sincerely doubt that it was better in the
it's better in my mind. I don't like hearing other people's voices in my head.
All right, that's fair.
I like
you
podcasts.
Realize, yeah,
guys. That sounds really bad when you say it out loud.
Everyone has a stupid voice, not like my dulcet tones.
Listen, you're not wrong. So how much air is underneath this device piece? I guess I want to know, because they apparently
what do you mean,
trap
like by breaths?
A pocket of air in order
Here's
to escape.
Thing. This thing is heavy enough that it requires two people to carry it.
Yes.
Sometimes.
Yes, sometimes.
And also light enough to float.
Yes.
Light enough to float, and then also light enough for Spirit to carry it up the side of a mountain later.
Correct.
With one arm.
Correct. Yep. He just puts it under his arm like a football and just crawls on up.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the two of them have to do some like knees up lifting in order to make it happen.
Also, like I need two hands to carry my laundry basket. Like, well, I can't.
Yeah.
I'm like, how is he putting that just under
well,
one
Well, I guess
arm?
You're not going to be a Joe anytime
well,
soon.
It miraculously changes sizes, because at some point it's as large as the two of them combined, but then later on.
Oh,
it, like,
I get it.
It shrinks.
It's another metaphor for a dick.
Oh, shit. The water's very cold, so it gets small.
Yeah, and then it floats on the top of the water, just like Bruce Willis's penis in that movie that he did when he's in the pool and you see his tiny Bruce Willis penis.
Wait, what?
What movie is this?
When did you see Bruce Willis's penis in Unbreakable?
Oh, my God.
What are you talking about, Gina?
Yo, I feel like it's like The Color of Night or something is what it was called.
Oh, okay. It wasn't.
Google Bruce Willis penis.
I'm convinced it was a lost episode of Bruno the Kid. That's what
I'm telling
you.
I think it was The Color of Night. Bruce Willis penis. I'm Googling it now.
Okay,
Bruce
well,
Willis shows
go ahead.
His penis in The Color of Night.
Is it? Yes, I was right. Jesus I was right. Christ. I was right. Penis.
But it's
penis.
Tiny?
I mean, it's not hard, and he's in a swimming pool.
Well, what is he doing showing that off,
I
then?
Don't know. I think that they probably had rules back then. Like, they were probably like, oh, you can't show hard wiener. Just show your soft, floaty wiener. And it's, like, floating in the water like that baby.
Oh, like the Nirvana baby?
Yeah. All of a sudden, everyone that listens to this podcast is going to go out and rent The Color of Night.
I'm not convinced that they will. In fact, I think a lot of people will put it on their avoid list now. Well, I'm going to go ahead and move forward then, because Firefly shows up, and then there's a whole thing where Storm Shadow says, "You saved me, Spirit.
Yeah,
I will not harm you. I'm going to take off because I am honorable." And I thought that was very, very cool. Now which takes us over to Zartan, who's the least honorable person, outside of Cobra Commander. Who's going straight on mercenary. And he makes an interesting point that G.I. Joe has one piece now. Cobra has one piece now.
Uh-huh.
So if we can, like, keep the balance of power, because they shoot the rocks that prevent Cobra from getting the second piece.
Uh-huh.
Spirit. And yep. So they're playing the angles. They're playing the Nicolas Cage and what is it? Got Lord of War game.
Oh,
they're...
when Nicolas Cage shows his penis in the water.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Tell me something, everybody. I'm sorry to distract from the penis talk.
Yes.
If Cobra has one piece,
uh-huh.
correct,
and the Joes have one piece,
uh-huh. yes,
and it takes three pieces to make a Weather Dominator.
Okay, I'm with you so far.
How much is that third piece going to be worth when you don't have the other piece?
I will tell you this. It'll be worth a lot because the way that the people steal from each other and like the covert options and the missions,
yeah.
if you have two pieces, you have to screw up twice to lose them all. If you only have one piece, one mission gets that piece away and you lose the battle.
Yeah, I agree. Plus, like, you have to assume that at some point one of them is going to gain the upper hand.
Thank you.
But they need it to complete it. I was just like thinking how many freaking device, like, because during this episode, I was like, wait, wasn't this the mass device? What device are we building now?
Nope,
like,
that was last episode.
I know. I kept.
Well, last miniseries.
Yeah, last miniseries. How many freaking devices? They must just all have half-built devices.
This is what
around.
Destro spends every day doing.
I think that their like basement looks like the basement of like, you know, you have those friends who like have kids and it's like their house itself looks like really tidy. And then you go into the basement and you're like, oh,
this is where
this
it
is
happens.
You throw all your kids.
And here's the deal.
East Coast thing, because no. I don't know anybody in this town who has a basement.
People in the Midwest all have basements, but Gene, I would argue the people that have kids, the whole house is a disaster. I think you've just
no,
been
I have.
They
like,
keep one room
friends.
Neat, and that's the only room they let you see.
No, I have some very tidy friends who have very like strict rules about like here's the toy box, all toys like after play go into the toy box, and the rest of it is like super neat.
Yeah, they know you're coming over, and they fix the place up for you because there's no way that's real 24/7.
But also everyone on the East Coast has a basement.
Yeah, that's the thing, because there's no earthquakes in the East Coast.
Oh, is that why there are no basements out here?
Yeah, because they will collapse and kill people.
Oh, that makes sense. I miss basements. I love basements.
Basements are awesome.
Basements are great, don't get me wrong.
I had friends in high school who lived in their basement. Like, their parents lived upstairs. They lived in their, like, finished basement, and they had, like, pool tables and large
screens.
Podcast
so hard
screen.
In a basement.
Seriously.
I tell you what.
We need to get on this basement.
I always
thing.
Had a dream of owning a basement, but I also had a dream of owning a house in L.A. So, those two things, not compatible with each other.
Addicts? They have addicts out here, at least?
Yeah, you wouldn't want
Oh, yeah. Heroin addicts, weed addicts.
Porn addicts.
Ooh, comedy.
Well, guys, we have another reappearance of one of my favorite Cobra devices. The drilling machine makes an appearance at the roof on the top of the world, and this is snow troop time. So this is time to bring out all the snow jobs.
Wait, no, what are you skipping right over?
Wild Bill.
The rest of
yeah. What do you want to go back to?
I will say this. I really like how classy Baroness makes everything. She could say retreat. Retreat, but get the fuck out of here. She says withdraw, which is, mm-hmm. you know, it's like, yeah, we're not, you know what? We didn't lose this. We are just withdrawing to our quarters, maybe to a smoking room.
At the end of sex.
I would be worried, though, because I think Cobra Commander has the license on the word retreat. So I think if anybody else actually uses that word, like Cobra Commander pulls him aside after, is like, hey, when that battle was ending and you were shouting, that's kind of my thing.
You know what I don't like about this scene is how close Freedom flies to those freaking propeller blades.
It was a little frightening.
Like, at some point, he's just like, cool, helicopter, caw, and then, like, dives right down in it. It looked like he was going to get ripped to ribbons.
Well, he can phase shift through helicopter. I think all G.I. Joes can do it. Mm-hmm. If we were still doing superpowers, that would be a good one to have.
I miss those episodes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I completely forgot that we used to do that.
Damn it, Chan. Fuck, marry, kill, superpowers. I miss those things.
Oh, right. Man, we used to have an entire other show on top of this show.
I know.
Yes, we did. Yes, for a long time.
Why did we do that?
I liked it. I loved it.
I thought those shows were magical, but like it's hard enough to just get together to do one show. Okay. So the drilling machine's back. G.I. Joe has what, slew sleighs? Am I even hearing that partially correct?
There's a glacier sled. Wait, there's a glacier. Well,
toboggans.
Yeah, they said glacier sled.
How do you go tobogganing inside a glacier?
Through the sluiceways.
Oh, sluice ways.
Yes.
It's like when you use ways to get around.
That is also not what it is.
It's the loose ways, though. Like, it's not really going to tell you quite where to go, but it's going to get you around where you need
to be. Yeah, like, it's going to ask you to make a left-hand turn across, like, four lanes of traffic.
No, that's normal ways.
A sluice is an artificial water channel for carrying off overflow or surplus water. So,
oh.
In essence, this is a natural sluice way.
So at some point, one of them is like, you'll never have to send out for ice again. Who sends out for ice?
That was Shipwreck. I think.
Chan looked it up.
Well, no, I do remember that. And I thought to myself, oh, like in 83, 84, that's probably like one of those things where like.
You think they didn't have ice machines?
Well, not in your house.
Yeah,
you can still make ice cubes.
I bet, but if you're having a party or something like that, it might have been more effective to order out for ice rather than have to go to the store.
Just drive to the 7-Eleven and get a bag of ice.
I bet back in the 50s, though, which is what we're probably referencing, is you had like the milkman, you had probably the iceman who came by because you didn't have modern refrigeration back then.
Yeah, Bobby Drake was cleaning house back then.
You know.
Making that bank.
Yeah.
That thick X bank.
So a whole lot of exposition happens to kind of just set up what's happening. Because Baroness sees Zartan like, oh, he's about to do some nefarious stuff and we can't really stop him. And Zartan's like, well, we can't fly in because the weather's too bad. So then Baroness's radio doesn't work because Destro's inside the glacier too far and the storm is bad. And so as a net result, Baroness can't get there in time. Zartan's already there, but Baroness can't report what he's doing. Here we go.
At this point, I'm pretty sure Baroness is like, that's weird. But since they're still ostensibly on Cobra's side, she's like, that's weird, but I'm going to let it slide. Maybe I'll check with Destro and let him know.
Right.
But she's not like, they've turned on us.
She's not expecting.
She was probably distracted by the fact that that one dude is still sleeveless.
He was torches wearing
all
basically
caps
a vest.
I have what? Still no sleeves?
Yeah.
Zartan also is just wearing his vest.
Well, yeah, like they would die.
That
they
is
would
a
legitimately
terrible
die.
Choice.
If they were out there that long, they would die.
What's amazing about it is that doesn't seem to bother them at all, except the sunlight. It's Zartan and he freaks out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was kind of amazing. Now, this is the highlight piece. This is how we got here. We're playing a giant game of hockey using a giant laser core as the puck and laser guns to move the puck around.
Wait, did
this
we skip over
wonderful.
the defective equipment quote?
Nope, that's the next one.
Oh.
I wrote in my notes here.
We'll do all kinds of stuff on that.
Oh, God. We playing hockey?
Yes.
Like, I saw it on the ice in the middle of that thing, I was like, that looks like a rink. What?
I was like, ooh, curling.
Oh, no.
Curling. Well, I just like everybody brought skates.
Yes.
That's a weird thing to bring.
Everybody brought blades.
The weird thing to stop and put on also because they did not have those skates on the entire time. Like, oh, there's ice. I guess we had better take off our boots, put on our skates.
And this is where some of the theory crafting of it was so much fun, though. I mean, we'll get to that part in a sec. Because Zartan was able to sneak up a secret way and nobody knows but him. It was treacherous.
Crevice.
But somehow he was able to put motorcycles up there, which I didn't quite fully understand.
The secret crevice.
I just want to...
Yeah, Zartan knows where the secret crevice is.
The secret crevice.
Yeah.
But, like, you should... They didn't have motorcycles strapped to their backs when they were climbing up the side, right? Like, whatever method used to get the motorcycles up there, shouldn't they have used that to get in themselves?
I feel like they probably had them FedExed or something.
I'm pretty sure they hid them there previously.
Just left them there?
In the Himalayas on the off chance that a laser core would crash down.
I'll be honest. Holds up.
Like they do this around all around the world. They have stashes of motorcycles.
Mm-hmm. Because I mean, what
I
would be
it.
A more effective vehicle on a just huge sheet of ice than two-wheeled motorcycles?
I'm into it.
I hide sandwiches all over the city in case I'm ever without a sandwich.
Gina, we have to talk about that.
That explains the moldy smell that I keep running across around the city. Nobody's willing to break this. No, everyone's silent.
I was
let
going
that hang.
To. I was going to, and then I decided it was funnier if we didn't.
Nope. Okay, so Gina, this is the part you wanted to talk about. Cobra Commander gets infuriated for reasons, you know, he's Cobra Commander. It doesn't take much.
First of all, I like that this is like the Amazing Race.
Yes.
I like that there are teams, and this is the Amazing Race. I think this is where they got the idea for the Amazing Race.
Why haven't they gone to the roof of the top of the world to go hockey playing?
Maybe they have. Have you watched every season of Amazing Race? Because I haven't.
I have not. I try to go back and watch the first season of The Amazing Race, and some of the contestants, like men with the women, were very like aggressively violent talking. In episode two, one of the men turns to his like wife or girlfriend and is just like, "I should punch you in the top of the head." And I just went, "I don't think I can watch this anymore. This is really unpleasant."
Yeah, I mean, that's how like married people are when you put them in high stress situations.
No, I've never once threatened to punch my wife in the head because she would
Ray,
hurt me.
Yeah, Ray, when... Gino's not talking about you.
Oh, okay.
Melissa, I am 100% certain.
Oh, well,
hey, you bend down here. Bend down. Don't ask why. Bend down here. I want to punch you in the top of the head.
I mean, I saw how it was when we did a room escape game.
I don't want to say that this is all true, so I will not confirm nor deny any of it. And how dare both of you right now? First season of Amazing Race. No. Okay, so Cobra Commander gets enraged. He rips the chair out of the ground, smashes the TV with it, and then orders punishment on whoever created the TV or whoever set it up because it's clearly defective.
This is the most Trumpian thing I've ever seen.
Defective equipment! I want the officer in charge of communications maintenance disciplined at once.
Sad.
Apologize.
One of those four dudes that just came up to look at what was going on, one of those dudes was the communications director.
Yeah, one of those dudes is Jeff Sessions.
One of those dudes is Scaramucci.
Yeah.
I'll go find that guy. do you have the other quote from Cobra Commander that I just love so much?
This is what I heard.
Get out, all of you. I wish to plan in private.
He's jerking off. 100%.
Oh, no, he needs to clear the room.
Off.
He's got to release that tension.
Everybody, get out. I have to plan.
This explains why he's so easily caught. Which, by the way, this early Cobra Commander is so easily caught.
But that's not even the line I wanted to get the pull on.
Oh.
Imbeciles! Why are great men always surrounded by lesser beings?
Yeah, that is coming out of the Oval Office nearly like on the hourly basis, right?
I think that... Every time I podcast.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not wrong.
Yeah, 100%. I see that.
So we get some weirdness now because you're right. Roadblock, somehow, one of the least stealthy Joe members, sneaks up on Cobra Commander, who clearly was distracted with something, and then like captures him.
Just
puts him in a headlock.
Yeah.
And then sings about it.
Sings the theme song.
Oh, he'll fight for freedom wherever there is trouble. G.I. Joe is here.
Wherever there is trouble,
there's trouble. Still better than Duke in that one episode of Cold Slither. I will say, I think Roadblock did a slightly better job. so he captures Cobra Commander for like a millisecond.
I forgot. Is this girl's name actually Honda Lou?
I forgot that too. What is it?
She refers to herself in the third person as Honda Lou.
I don't know what that means. Is that like...
Nope, I just looked it up. Honda Lou West. Honda, like the car. Lou, like Lou Costello. And West, like...
The great voice actor.
I was going to say the thing that Al-Qaeda is trying to bring down.
Oh. or the only Batman.
Sure.
Okay. So that's a strange name.
Some strange choices here. So Scrap Iron shows up and he ends up. They just recapture Roadblock and Honda Lou like right away. Like beat the F out of him. To be honest with you,
I'm gonna need another pull because this is a sex filled episode.
Take him from behind.
Look.
Why is it necessary to yell that? We know where to take them from.
Yeah, I mean, they're coming in from both sides, so...
I'm just wondering how... Maybe the writer like had how many double entendres can we work into one episode of G.I. Joe? Because that's like seven. This one episode alone.
Seriously.
At this point, the writer was getting pretty tired. This is episode four... And he's just like, oh, God, I'm just going to make some dick jokes to keep me happy.
He's been watching a lot of porn.
And we're to a point right now that episode five basically is going to write itself.
Yeah.
Like, we've gotten everywhere we need to go. We just need to wrap it up now. We get back to the arena of sport again.
Jesus Christ. All caps. How many times has this not worked out? Literally every time they go to the arena of sport, the G.I. Joes figure out how to fuck it up.
But
why won't you just murder them?
We get some dope ass Tron tech.
Thank you. I have right here. We have Tron snakes, and if you can't trust Tron snakes, there's nothing you can trust in this world.
Yeah, I want to fight some Tron snakes.
What to why and how and why is nobody mentioning that jive handshake that Roadblock gives?
Wait, I did have that in my notes
because it's perfectly normal, Chan. That's why I didn't mention it.
I said, what is this Duke and Roadblock handshake?
Well, there's explanations for it, but me expressing them will not sound good in any possible way.
I feel like
you see the blacks.
I feel like Duke, knowing Duke, he at some point Roadblock greeted someone with that, and Duke was like, oh, that seems pretty hip. I would like to learn that. I command you to teach it to me. And Roadblock is like, okay, I'll teach it to you, but it's kind of like our thing. And he's like, who's our? Is that me? You mean the army guys? It's our thing? All right, it's our thing now.
I disagree with that. I think Duke is cool, and Roadblock shared that with him openly, perhaps over a turkey dinner from Lady J's Javelin.
Where are your chitlins? I was led to believe that you people eat chitlins.
Oh, Jesus.
Show me where your soul food is.
Teach me your ways.
I hear some of you are very wise. And have magical powers. I'm getting off of this train before it derails more. We go back to finally the last scene.
You're getting
right
off
here.
This soul train?
Oh, God damn it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that was a perfect line. Good night, everybody. last scene of the episode, we have the laser hockey to its completion.
Yeah.
And Zartan, Storm Shadow ends up saving Spirit from an avalanche, which is very cool.
Yeah.
And now it says, now we're even.
I was wondering how they were going to. I was like, well, he can't just owe him a Wookiee life debt for the whole time.
So we wrap that up pretty quick. But he does say, next time we meet his enemies. And then he leaves politely. And I thought that was awesome.
I'm on board with that.
Yeah.
Baroness has a very Japanese anime type flight helmet on.
Oh.
It's a little weird look.
It's a little weird, yeah. With the weird yellow visor thing.
Yeah. She's very Battle of the Planets.
It's a little. So the upshot of all this, Zartan brings his motorcycles onto the ice. Yep. They magnetize on the laser core and whisk it off, and then he grabs
and
a megaphone.
And drive up an icy slope
like you do. And thankfully, he packed the megaphone because he knew this moment was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so he pulls out the megaphone and says, you each have a piece. I got a third one. Therefore, you got to pay me for it.
Yeah, smart. Highest bidder.
So smart.
Also, why does Cobra Commander continue to work with him after this?
Well, he knows he can't be trusted, but in theory, he gets jobs done and is often in the places where Cobra Commander needs stuff done.
I mean, he doesn't really get jobs done in most of the other episodes.
He does screw up a lot, a lot.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. He works on commission, so Cobra Commander knows, hey, you fucked it up. You don't get paid.
That's true.
But remember, Zartan's got the Dreadnoughts working for, $5 probably, a day.
Yeah, he has very little overhead.
He doesn't have to pay him a lot, I guess is what I'm saying.
I wonder if he just pays them in drugs, and, the $5 a day is just sort of a token payment.
Yeah, per diem.
I'm paying $1 for this... for this business because we're transferring ownership and doing some sort of
For legal purposes, we can't mention the drugs.
Yeah.
So.
Right.
Yeah, I'm with it. So Zartan does the weird thing as a businessman, though, when he creates an avalanche and potentially kills everybody. He just told this plan to. Could you imagine if that avalanche had killed everybody and Zartan's left there just being
it's not everybody. Cobra Commander's not there.
But he can't necessarily see this bullhorn thing
That's
happening
true.
At the time. So he kills everybody. I did not think this through at all.
Everybody hears everything all of the time in the G.I. Joe universe.
How quickly I forget about G.I. Joe rules of law.
Also, he probably saw that one episode of MacGyver that I remember where MacGyver gets trapped under an avalanche and then he does a series of experiments until his air runs out to make sure that he can shoot a little tiny flag up through the snow so that the rescue team can find him.
Is that new MacGyver or original MacGyver?
New MacGyver? What? Shut up.
What? There's an original?
I thought it was established
new
in 2016.
MacGyver. Is new MacGyver with the guy from X-Men?
Yeah, Lucas Till, yep.
I have not seen it.
And George Eads.
I refuse to
see
it.
Really,
is it still on?
They really missed
an
opportunity.
Justin Hires from the old, the canceled Rush Hour TV series.
Oh, and thank God for that.
God, so many. Too many.
Justin's a pretty good actor.
This was original MacGyver with the original MacGyver, and he was in the snow. He escaped an avalanche.
Anderson.
I'm assuming that they all saw this episode.
They missed an opportunity. If they were going to cast new MacGyver from X-Men, they should have done the dude who played Nightcrawler, Alan Cumming.
What?
Because he would have been a perfect MacGyver in that it would have been amazing.
In that he was about 40 years too old.
Yeah.
Okay, wait a minute. Are we going to talk about old people playing like James Bond now? Is that why Idris Elba can't play James Bond? Chan? He's what? Too old?
What?
That's all I got.
Chan's racist against Idris Elba. He doesn't want him to be James Bond.
Thank you.
No, I want him to be the goddamn doctor.
Doctor Who is always a woman, Chan. I don't know what you're talking about.
Always has been, always will be.
Oh, you're saying that Idris Elba couldn't play a woman? You're saying that one of the greatest actors of our generation couldn't be whatever the goddamn well he wanted to be?
Guys, the lesson here is cast Harry Dean Stanton in everything.
You know what? I cannot argue with that. Harry Dean Stanton is the goddamn best.
Guys, if we came to any conclusions on this episode, it's Harry Dean Stanton needs more work.
Yeah. Yep.
Because maybe we can get him on the podcast.
Maybe.
Me and Chan just looked at each other like, why not?
Maybe. Hey, Harry Dean Stanton, what do you know about G.I. Joe?
Well, we got one episode left. If you're going to get on, you better get on quick.
Get on this soul train, Harry.
If you don't do that, you got to watch series 2, and nobody wishes that on anybody.
Mm-mm.
I can't wait for it.
Oh, Lord. Well, anyways, guys, that's this episode of G.I. Joe. That's a battle on the roof of the world. Guys, we only have one more mainline episode of G.I. Joe outside of the movie, which, I mean, I guess, so technically 5 more, probably.
Oh, I think we should watch the movie before we watch the second series. Oh, wait. That's you're not talking about the live action movie, are you?
No, not the live action movies, but right. I would like to. We should do those as well.
I think we should do those in between the series and the new series.
Well, we're going to be like mixing it up and doing some other shows in addition to series 2, in addition to the G.I. Joe the movie, which we're sort of holding on to because that should be an event kind of a thing. I still think.
Okay.
Whether that's like we
make themed foods.
Yes.
Like, what are we going to have this in my living room?
We have a
like
we have
GI
30 people
Sloppy
over.
Joe's.
Every listener of the show can come to the Fat Robot Studios, and we'll do a massive podcast.
The Red Baroness Pizzas.
Okay, I'm listening.
This is going to take a long time.
Well, guys, I think that's going to do it for us. Anything you guys want to plug really quick before we get it out of here?
Flynn testicle tent.
Nope.
What?
So, I don't even want to think about
doing?
It.
Oh my God. She's having a stroke. Gina is having a stroke.
Her left eye
what
is
do
twitching.
We do? What are we supposed to do?
I just leave her there, I guess.
No, there's like a checklist you're supposed to do when someone's having a stroke.
Okay.
You're supposed to put cookies in their mouth.
That is not what you were supposed to do.
I'm pretty sure it is.
Oh, God. Please, anybody listening, if your grandfather like falls over, you're like, oh my God, he's having a stroke. Do not listen to Gina. That is a terrible idea.
It's probably a blood sugar thing.
That is the opposite of good advice.
No. Strokes are not a result of low blood sugar, Gina.
Crush up some Nilla wafers and put that shit in there.
Well, guys, thanks for listening to this episode. You can hit us up on social media, because I want to get away from this now. Facebook.com/KnowingIsHalfThePodcast. You can hit us up Patreon.com/KnowingIsHalfThePodcast if you'd like to join our great listenership of the Patreon episodes. We have some bonus episodes hopefully coming in the next week to get
Ooh.
Back on that train again.
Tweet us or Facebook us some food puns that we can make for our G.I. Joe food party.
Hashtag G.I. Joe food.
Yeah.
That's like a real hashtag we could try to do. Hashtag G.I. Joe food. What names can you come up with? We'll put this on the Facebook and the Twitter.
Uh-huh.
Our Twitter is at G.I. Joe podcast. You should also be checking out at Prez Serpentor with a Z because alternate 2017, Serpentor is the president of the United States, and he's picking up some traction. People enjoying what he's doing right now.
Uh-huh.
And thanks to everybody, all our listeners out there who participated in our Which G.I. Joe comic book was the first one that you had. We had some real fun on Twitter and on Facebook, kind of going down memory lane a little bit and seeing all these super cool older G.I. Joe covers, and it was just a lot of fun. So if you guys haven't seen that, go back on our Twitter a few days and post yours. Why not? Mm-hmm. It's fun times. Also on Twitter, you can catch me individually. I am at Almighty Ray.
I'm at 999 RPMs.
I'm at Gina Ippy.
And one more thing to say. Gina and Chan were just on an episode of Skeeterial, if you have not listened to that yet. I have listened to it. What a delight.
You think I cracked the case, right?
I think you won.
Yeah.
I really thought the week before, myself and Brent Pope of the Raisin Brent show had cracked the case. For some reason, they kept recording episodes.
Because they just recorded Billy Merritt. And you guys think you know what you're talking about. Man, yeah. Billy just took the table, flipped it right over.
Wow.
Really?
Just
game changer.
So you should be listening to Skeeterial as well to hear us and just hear the show in general.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's it. All right, you guys, that's going to do it for the plugs. Anything else you guys want to plug?
Meh.
Meh.